good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, February the 18th, 2016. 1:13 coming up on 1:14 Eastern Standard Time. And during this hour, we're going to pay tribute to a legend, a gentleman I loved having on this program. The last time he was on this program was in May of 2012, on the occasion of his 95th birthday. Actor George Gaines, who passed away yesterday, Wednesday, February the 17th, at the age of 98, almost 99 years old. You probably remember him best as Henry Wanamont from the TV series Punky Brewster. He was Commandant Lassard in the Police Academy movies. He was in Tootsie with Dustin Hoffman. He did a lot of things, and he was always interesting. A series with John Ritter in the 1990s called Hearts of Fire. Always a very funny actor, very enjoyable guy. And this hour, we're going to go back and listen to an interview, as I said, we taped in May of 2012 on the occasion of his 95th birthday 4 years ago. And then we're going to talk with Kay Ballard, who starred with George Gaines in a musical entitled Reuben Reuben. So let's go back and listen to the late George Gaines from 2012.
This is Scott Spears. And legendary actor George Gaines was born on May the 16th, 1917 in Helsinki. Over the years, George has been a star on stage, on TV, most notably as Henry Wanamont in the Punky Brewster television series, and film, most notably as Commandant Eric Lassard in the Police Academy films. I'm so glad to visit with him today on the occasion of his 95th birthday, a gentleman who I have enjoyed a lot over the years. It gives me great pleasure to introduce everybody to George Gaines. George, how are you?
Pretty well, thank you. For my age, I must say, although I'm not as sprightly as I used to be. Anyway, that's all in the past, and for my age, I'm feeling pretty good.
You know, I want to talk about this, George. When you were young, did you ever think about making it to 95?
Honestly, I never thought ahead very much. I just dealt with the present. That was sufficient effort to contribute to.
Well, here you are. You've made it to 95, so we all want to know, how do you do it? What did you do right?
It's a constitution, I guess, that I've been bequeathed by my forebears. My mother was a very strong, healthy woman. She lived till her 90s. And my father disappeared when I was very young, so I don't know too much about him. I don't know. I don't think he lived terribly long, but I inherit my strength from my mother, Lady Abdi. She married in second marriage, a British nobleman. I don't get to inherit the title. I'm a commoner.
Well, there's nothing common about you, George. Anybody who's seen you over the years. Do you exercise?
You know, I do very irregularly, and I'm glad you called me on it, because I was just thinking about it 5 minutes ago, that I should go and do my little weights and my bicycle.
Do you...
I go to Pilates.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
What's that like?
It's the most complete and less arduous, really, exercise I know. I work for the original man, old what's his name, Pilates. And then now here, there's a studio that does the same in Santa Barbara.
That's great. George, do you eat anything different? Do you eat a healthy diet?
I do, actually. I don't get drunk. I drink very little wine, and vodka is my favorite drink, but I moderate that very much. And that's about all I do.
George, what does 95 feel like physically?
It feels heavy in the feet and legs, and a little cotton in the head, if you see what I mean. And otherwise, it feels, in my case, fairly normal. I can't really run very much anymore. I can't walk very fast anymore. So I don't bother.
When did you first start to see those physical changes happening, George? About what age?
Oh, I would say in the mid-70s, maybe I could start fixing a date on it. It's very hard to do.
So at this point, 95 doesn't feel any different than maybe 75 did?
Not a hell of a lot, no. Maybe a little heavier in the feet and a little more cotton in the head, but not very much else.
Well, George, I want to go back and recount your life a little bit here. What was your childhood like in Helsinki?
I didn't stay there. My mother moved with my father out of Finland. I don't know exactly what he was doing there, some kind of business representative of some kind. But we moved first to Holland for a little while, and then my mother divorced him and went to Paris, taking me with her. And I grew up in Paris. When she married an Englishman, eventually I got adopted by him, Sir Robert Abney. He had a title. I went to school in England, which accounts for my English accent. And then they divorced. And England was no longer the thing, so I was shunted at the age of 14 to Switzerland, where I finished high school in Lausanne, a town in the French-speaking part of Switzerland. Okay? And so on. You want some more?
Yeah, keep going. That's very interesting.
Well, then came the war. I hopped over the Pyrenees to Spain. They caught me for illegal entry into Spain. And I spent a few months in prison before being liberated in Gibraltar and forwarded on to London, where I joined the Navy, the British Navy, and sailed with them for a couple of years during the war. After the war, I went back to Paris and started my opera career.
George,
singing opera.
Want to back up here for a second, George. What was it like to be in the English Navy, Royal Navy, during World War II?
It felt perfectly comfortable because I spoke perfect English, having been to school in England, and I was sort of British by then. And it was okay, you know, it was my Navy.
George, you said you went into opera there. Was the first career you chose. When did you decide you wanted to be an actor? Was it as a child, or did it come to you later?
It came in high school when I had a big success with the school theatrical presentation that they had each year. And in my graduating year, I was the lead in a play with music. I can't remember what the play was. It was a classic of sorts. But anyway, I decided after that to pursue the singing career and went to Milan, Italy, to study with private coaches. Some were okay, some were not so good. I went through two or three coaches and then got started. Then came the war. After the war, I picked it up again in Paris and got a few engagements in France. And then moved to the U.S.
What?
On a contract with New York City Opera. That's how I came to the United States. Laszlo Halas was the director and hired me as a professor basso in his company, the New York City Opera. I stayed with them for a few years. I never got to the Met. And then from New York City Opera, I went to Broadway in Wonderful Town and other shows.
George?
Wonderful Town was with Rosalind Russell,
The
movie actress.
What was it like working with her?
Absolutely delicious. She was a wonderful lady, a great lady, and, very, very talented, and we got along terribly well. So that was that.
George, one thing I want to talk about here, a few people might not recognize your voice because you do have an English accent.
Yes.
But when you were in Police Academy, say, or Punky Brewster, what would you call the accent you used there? Was it an American accent?
I didn't consciously work on any accent. I just spoke as I do normally. I never bothered with trying to be American or fully American. I thought it was sufficient that way.
Was there ever any trouble with dialect, the way that American writers would write television series or movies?
Oh, no, none at all. It didn't bother me a bit. There was nothing to bother, to bother, really. So, that's the way it was.
You know, George, a lot of people remember you very fondly from the Police Academy movies. That character you played, Commandant Eric Lessard, he was kind of a goofball. Was it hard to play him? Where did he come from?
I can play a nincompoop pretty well. I don't know, it was just I was able to do it, that's all. Rather up in the air, rather vague person. Yes. What else?
Well, I tell you, another role that people remember you very fondly is Henry Wanamont on Punky Brewster. How did that role come about?
Well, that was entirely different. Entirely different character, and I tried to adjust to sort of a grandfatherly person. I don't know, I guess I succeeded to some degree.
Did you like doing that show?
Oh, well, yes. The child was very pleasant, and I had no trouble at all with the kid. Everything was fine there. Just fine.
You know, there's an old adage, George, that it's you should never work with kids or animals.
Yes, I know.
You did both in that show.
That was wrong, yes.
But you found it okay.
Yeah, it was fine. It was just fine.
Do you have a favorite role in your career that you've played?
A favorite role?
Yeah.
Well, let me see. I think I played some classics, and I played. I couldn't really say that I had a favorite. I can't think of one, frankly.
Is there something that you played that you didn't like? Do you have a least favorite role?
No, I can't think of any anymore. At 95, my memory has suffered.
Well, you're doing just great as far as I'm concerned, George.
I'm sorry?
You're doing just great as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, good.
Now, one thing I want to ask you. You played Father Robert in 2003 in Just Married. You were 86 years old at the time. That's the last film you did. Are you retired, or would you still take a role?
If they'd care to hire a 95-year-old man, I think I should take it, yes, and do my best about it.
Do you still
get... I think I could manage.
Do you still get offers?
No, of course not. No. They know my age. I don't think anybody past 90, well, very few, get any kind of offers.
Would you like to do another film?
I wouldn't mind. Yes, I would like it. Why not? What the hell?
In 2003, did you intentionally stop working, or did that just happen to be your last role?
Is that when I was last employed?
Yeah, as Father Robert in Just Married.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the last time.
That's the last one that I have in the notes here.
I see. No, engagements didn't come anymore. That's all.
But you're saying you would take a role?
I wouldn't mind. Yes, I would.
Yeah, well, maybe the role will come in now, George. Is there anything you would like to play?
I haven't thought about it, really.
Would you ever return to the stage?
I think I could, yes. I think so.
I tell you, George, we've got to get you back up. You're too good not to be working.
Thank you. I hope others are of the same opinion.
Well, here's the thing, George. One thing we talked about earlier on that most people don't know is you are a tremendous singer.
I was a pretty good singer, yes.
Where did that come from?
Well, I had a pair of vocal cords that functioned well, that's all. I sang as a child, as a young man, in the Boy Scouts, the marching songs, in Switzerland. I sang early, and it kept going.
Is your voice still there at 95?
You tell me. I don't know. What do I sound like?
Well, could you give us a little, George? Entertain us.
Если шни в саду даже шороки, все здесь замерло до утра. Если б знали вы, как мне дороги подмосковные вечера. Это Russia. and...
I think it's still there, George. I think you still got it. My goodness. This has been a lot of fun. George, at 95, I hate to ask this, but do you think of death at 95?
Of course.
What do you think about?
It could happen tomorrow. You know, anytime.
Are you fearful of it?
Look, I'd rather stay alive, but if I have to die, I'll die. What the hell, you know? One can't fight it.
Well, I don't think you're going anywhere anytime soon, George.
I'm glad you think so.
In 50 years, George, because of film and television, you're going to be remembered. How would you like to be remembered?
Oh, as an artist. An artist, a man who spent his life to entertain and to... Well, that's about it.
Well, I tell you, George, on the occasion of your 95th birthday, I certainly thank you for allowing me to do this interview.
But it's a pleasure, and you're very pleasant.
Well, I want to tell you this. For years, through my childhood, I watched you on a lot of TV series, I watched you in a lot of movies, and no matter what the role was, I was always entertained. When you came on the screen, I was happier. You have that thing. I don't know what it is, but...
It's very nice of you. I'm very pleased to hear that.
Well, I tell you, there were very few times in my life where I have laughed out loud at television or been moved, but there have been a lot of times when you have done roles that I love. And I'm so glad you're still with us and still doing well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your pleasant... interview.
Well, George, you stay well, and I want you to come back with us in the future.
Very good.
Thank you. George
Thank
Gaines.
You.
Take care. Bye-bye.
George Gaines on this program in 2012 on the occasion of his 95th birthday. Sadly, George left us yesterday at age 98. Wanted to remember some moments before we bring Kay Ballard in here. He did a series, it's not one of his widely known series, but George Gaines was a part of a series with John Ritter and Marky Post in 1992 called Hearts of Fire, where he played a senator. Strobe Smithers was the name. And it was produced by the people who produced Designing Women and that whole group. But here's a little funny memory of George Gaines on television.
Be here for this?
Oh, Senator! Hi, we're just working on your speech for tomorrow.
Oh, never mind that. There are bigger problems. By the way, anyone know why Miss Starr is selling women's underwear in the lobby?
Well, actually, sir, I think she's having a lingerie party. You know, she's got that mail-order catalog business, and those are some of her samples.
Oh, well, thank you, Miss Davis. I hesitated to ask because you don't know what trends are in anymore. For all I know, it's perfectly appropriate for people now to be selling their underwear at work. I just need someone to keep me apprised of these things.
Sir, you mentioned something about a bigger problem.
Well, yes, the bigger problem is that Mrs. Smithers and I had a real bad falling out. Well, as you know, she's a lot younger than me, and she does not want me to run for the Senate in 94 because she would like to run for my seat. What is this?
It's your speech for the VFW. It's on family values.
Oh, values, schmalures. I'm tired of talking about all that Hollywood cultural elite stuff. I think there are a lot of very fine people in Hollywood. I always enjoyed Jack Benny and Jackie Gleason. And I'll tell you, that fella that played Mannix, now he had a real good program. You ever see that program, Miss Lottie?
No, I didn't, Senator.
No, I'll bet you didn't, because you were out breaking hearts, you and Miss Davis both. Am I right, Billy Bob?
Probably so.
Hell, you know it's so. These are good-looking women. And frankly, there are a lot of dogs on the hill this year. I know I shouldn't say that. They can't help it, but it's true.
Senator, is there any way I can help you with Mrs. Smithers?
As a matter of fact, there is. Now that I've been kicked out of my house, I can't go to a hotel because they get in the papers. I'm looking for a place to stay.
Well, we'd be happy to have you stay with us. Except Mavis's parents are visiting from New York City.
How about Mr. Houghton?
Well, he's not feeling well.
Oh, I know. Well, would you mind if I bunked over a few nights until Mrs. Smithers came to her senses?
Well, I guess not. Miss Lula's going to go visit her sister, so I guess you can sleep in the guest room.
Who's Miss Lula?
Oh, my nanny.
Mr. Hartman lives with her?
That's right.
Shouldn't your nanny live with you?
Well, she does, but it's a long story, Senator.
What is it, Miss Starr?
I didn't want to disturb Mr. Hartman at home, so I wondered if Miss Lottie could tell him that Deandra and Ruth called, and they have gotten a court order to have his bathtub removed today.
Thank you, I'll tell him.
My goodness, Mr. Hartman lives a much fuller life than I ever imagined. He seems so quiet here at work.
Oh, and Senator, I'll be picking up your heart medicine after 5 today, but I can't bring it by till later on tonight. I'm having permanent eyeliner tattooed on my eyelids. Wish me luck.
All right. Good luck on having permanent eyeliner tattooed on your eyelids.
Thank you.
Oh, Miss Starr, please bring the medicine to Mr. Hartman's house.
Oh, my goodness. Does he have a heart condition, too?
No. I'll be working over there later on. If Miss Lottie is sure that it won't disturb anybody.
No, Mr. Hartman will be thrilled. Absolutely thrilled.
Let's go a little later in the episode.
Gee, I seem to recall a different slant on that this morning.
Look, it's enough that I don't feel very well and I haven't slept in days. I'm not spending the night sleeping with him, and that's final.
You better make sure and set that alarm, Mr. Hartman, because I usually go to bed at 8:30 and I don't want to oversleep. What are we doing here anyway at the moment? Watching TV?
Yeah, just until I can get some sleep, Senator. Look at this. I got 102 fever.
Oh, hell, that's nothing. I knew people in World War II with malaria. They had fever up to 104, 105, 106.
Thank you, Senator. I'll try to keep that in mind. Well, if you don't mind, Senator, I'm going to watch Murphy Brown.
Murphy Brown? Is that that gal Dan Quayle was picking on?
Yes, sir, it is.
Oh, hell. A good-looking woman. Look at that. What the heck does he have against her?
Well, Senator, she had a baby out of wedlock.
But she's not real, is she?
No, sir, she's not.
Well, what the hell's the problem? Does the president know she's not real?
Yes, sir, I believe he does.
Well, he should tell Quayle.
What's going on? George, he told me you're up here.
Yeah, we're here, all right. What are you doing?
Mavis and I had a big fight about politics, and I told her that she and her entire family should go live with Mario Cuomo. And she kicked me out.
Oh. Billy Bob, I don't mean to be inhospitable, but are there any men left in this town who are getting to sleep in their own beds? And is my home the only shelter?
Hell, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. The senator's kicked out, and I'm kicked out, and I think it's time we start standing up to some of these women.
You're exactly right. You people own half your homes, don't you? You can't just let women walk all over you.
Anyhow, in the meantime, I was just going to crash here on your sofa.
I don't have it anymore.
What happened?
My ex-wife took it.
Have you seen this Murphy Brown? Good-looking woman. But she's not real.
Don't go away. Tonight's show will be right back.
I don't know. I can't figure out if I like this Jay Leno yet or not. What do you think, John?
I have no opinion.
What happened to Jack Parr?
Senator, Jack Parr's been gone for about 30 years.
Well, that must have been about the time I quit watching. Mrs. Smithers and I usually go to bed at 8:30. Oh, not for anything particular. She has this thing that zips up to here with fur all over it and not feathers. Hell, you got to have a machete to get to her.
Well, we just came in to tell you,
George Gaines. We'll be coming back with Kay Ballard in just one moment. Don't you dare go away. Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, from legendary comedian Kay Ballard, performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. With King's Hut, there's a Chuck-full of Nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised a wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful. Yeah. It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
I will do
anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. Because well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me. Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday, February the 18th, 2016, 1:44 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're remembering the brilliant actor George Gaines, who sadly passed away yesterday at the age of 98, almost 99. He would have been 99 in May. We were lucky enough to have him on this program back in 2012 on the occasion of his 95th birthday. I want to play you a little clip of that interview because George had an amazing voice, and on that occasion he was kind enough to sing a little bit for us, and then we've got a great guest to remember him, a good friend of George's. But here's George Gaines from our interview 2012 on this program.
Could you give us a little George? Entertain us.
Не слышны в саду даже шороги, все здесь замерло до утра. Если б знали вы, как мне дороги подмосковные вечера.
I think it's still there, George. I think you still got it.
George was a great performer, and that was with no preparation at age 95. Coming in to remember him, his co-star from Reuben, one of my favorite people without question, the lovely, talented, brilliant Kay Ballard. Kay, how are you?
I'm fine, Scott. Well, that makes me sad to hear his voice again.
You know,
because he just was a class act. All the way around.
You know, Kay, I was...
And he was married to, what's her name? She's a wonderful actress, too. Cleary?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, her last name was Cleary. But she was also wonderful. But is she around? Isn't that funny? We said that, but no matter who you talk to... Are they still around?
They are. They were married for over 70 years.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
You know, Kay...
I got to tell you, I think he just was... He was so handsome. With blonde hair, and he was just a wonderful man to work with.
You know, Kay, what was it like working with George?
Well, he's just very, very... Always a gentleman. Always a gentleman. And he was just wonderful to work with. First of all, he was a true professional.
You know, one thing I found interesting about George, he had a lot of success in musicals, but his big motion picture and television successes, Punky Brewster, Police Academy, did not come until the 80s when he was almost 70 years old.
You say 70 like that's old. It's not old today.
That's right. You're right.
And it wasn't old then. I didn't stop working until, I'm still working. And I'm 90. So there you are.
I guess I was looking at it from the perspective of he was an actor, and it took a long time to get national notoriety.
Well, if you don't have a regular television show, they think you're out of the business or dead. So that's the way it is. You know, it's just not true. Some of the great actors of our day are they're not on television, and they're working all the time. And there was a lady named Marina Ray, who's truly one of the best actresses I've ever seen. She's still doing repertory work all over the country.
When I talked to George on his 95th birthday, I asked him, I said, George, if a part came around, well, I said, do you still get offers? And he said, well, I don't think anybody wants to employ a 95-year-old actor. And I said, but if a I said, George, but if a part came, would you take it? And he said, yes.
Of course. So would I, in a minute.
Why is it actors are different people in that respect? A lot of people, when they turn 65, they want to retire. Actors...
Oh, never, never, never.
Never.
Now, as a matter of fact, Donna McKechnie is visiting me at the moment. She's one of the great personalities. And she's 70 and still working.
As well she should. I think people should go on as long as they can do it, because like George got funnier, I think, with age. I think he really got into that comedic part of his career.
Well, he got a great sense of humor. Alan and McCleary also.
Absolutely.
His wife.
When you think of George Gaines, what do you think about? What's the first thing that pops
very
in?
Very tall, very handsome man. And very professional, and always a gentleman.
When you saw,
I never heard him say a bad word about anybody. I never cursed. I mean, it's just wonderful.
Did you ever run into him after you guys had worked together?
Oh yes.
And was it always
and
a good?
And then we'd see each other, we'd laugh because we had fun when we were working together.
What do you think, how do you think we'll remember him?
Well, I hope you remember him, just as I said, a class act.
Wow.
Always a gentleman.
And I think his work, thank goodness, will be with us forever, and we'll have it to look at and laugh and think. He did some very serious roles, too, that were very good.
Oh, yes. He did opera, also.
Absolutely. He, you know, I do want to play this, Kay, before I get you off the line, because in that interview back in 2012, I asked George how he'd like to be remembered, and I want to play that little clip for the audience here. This is George Gaines on how he'd like to be remembered from 2012 on this program.
But do you think of death at 95?
Of course.
What do you think about?
It could happen tomorrow, you know, anytime.
Are you fearful of it?
Look, I'd rather stay alive, but if I have to die, I'll die. What the hell, you know? One can't fight it.
Well, I don't think you're going anywhere anytime soon, George.
I'm glad you think so.
In 50 years, George, because of film and television, you're going to be remembered. How would you like to be remembered?
Oh, as an artist. An artist, a man who spent his life to entertain and to, well, that's about it.
I think he said it right, don't you, Kay?
Absolutely. And of course, most actors, well, I've got a death since I'm 30, so, you know, it's true. I mean, and I just love working. I love my profession. And he did also.
Well, I know I can say this on this day. It's sad to lose George, but making it to 98, almost 99, he would have been 99 in May. I know he had a great life. And we're not going to see actors like George Gaines and Kay Ballard around this way anytime soon again, I don't think.
Well, thank you.
Kay, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Scott, and good luck, God bless all of us.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Before we wrap up this program today, I do want to play a clip because George was very well known for Punky Brewster. This is from the pilot episode of the TV series Punky Brewster, George Gaines. Here we go.
I was out for 3.5 hours looking for you. Where have you been?
Right here. It was raining outside. I'm surprised you were not looking for me. You said you didn't care about people.
Go to bed.
Okay. Henry, do I have to leave tomorrow? Are you taking me down to the service department for children?
I have to. But I'll try and arrange it so you can stay here till we find your mother.
Thanks, Henry. Night.
Good night. Sweet dreams.
God, it's me, Punky. Brewster! Could you please help me find my mom and really quick? And in the meantime, thanks for sending me Henry. When he takes me down to the service department for children, will you give me a sign that everything's gonna be alright? Is that a yes or a no?
Not a bad series, Punky Brewster, and we certainly all will miss George Gaines, a very capable actor who could do just about anything, from comedy to drama. I really did love that man. He was so funny, enjoyable, dramatic, whatever he was doing, I had a good time listening to. So, George Gaines will be forever missed. If anybody has a memory, by the way, you can give us a call. 740-383-9944. Give us a ring here. We would certainly love to talk with you about this actor. And did you enjoy him in Tootsie? We forgot about his work in Tootsie, and we haven't covered his work in the Police Academy series, and we certainly thank Kay Ballard for calling in. Kay was wonderful there. What an amazing job she was able to do. I'm going to try to find one more George Gaines clip here to leave us with, because I want to end with him getting the last word here, because I think he certainly deserves it. So, here we go. Let's go to George Gaines in the TV series Punky Brewster.
Yes, her too.
Mr. Warnemont, I think I finally figured out what's wrong with your dryer.
Yes? What is it?
Well, sir, every time you turn around, that baby fills up with water. Now, call me crazy, but that's no way to dry clothes.
Eddie, that is the washing machine. The dryer is the machine right next to it.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Yes, sirree, Chief. Isn't it great to be part of a team? I'm history.
Get lost!
I'll bet you don't get a lot of salesmen around here.
Please forgive me, Miss Mitchell. Won't you come in? How's Punky?
Oh, she's adjusting. She really misses you.
Well, have you had any luck finding her mother?
Not yet. Mr. Warnemont, we must face the possibility that Punky's mother won't be found. In fact, to be brutally honest, she may not want to be found.
Just want to let you know that Soleil Moon Frye, Punky Brewster, tweeted, "The universe just gained a gigantic star. You will be in my heart and soul always and forever. Your little Punky. Rest in peace, George Gaines. 98 years old. That's all the time we have today, folks. And I certainly hope you enjoyed this tribute. This is Scott Spears heading for the ballpark. We'll miss you, George.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. Place to talk.
When we're joined, this is great pride and privilege for